Hi there. Welcome back and thank you for joining me today. I'm Jamie and I am a Blues Disciple. As always, please get yourself a nice cup of coffee or a little bottle of wine, or maybe you only need your little jelly roll sweetheart. In any event, please join me for the next half hour or so to hear some very good blues music and an insightful conversation with my friend here, Billy Johnson of the Highway 61 Blues Museum in Leland, Mississippi. Along the way, we'll play some of the better known artists and some of those who are lesser known, but have shown us their substantial hearts and the music they share and leave with us. Again, through this music and informative conversation, we hope to touch your soul and please your heart. To start out today, Billy, please tell us a little bit about one of the really good blues men, James Son Thomas. While not as popular as some of the blues greats, he was an original, very talented, and creative blues artist.
Yeah, Son was the real deal. You know, I mean, he grew up, I guess was born down in Eden, Mississippi, which is pretty close to Bentonia. Elmore James was from down there. And Elmore James would let Son, you know, doing the breaks and stuff, play his guitar, and he learned his slide style from Elmore James. You know, Son, it's kind of ironic, but Son moved to Leland in the early 60s, and his mother worked, the building where the Highway 61 Museum is was the Montgomery Hotel. It was, at that point, you know, Highway 61 still came through Leland before, you know, it bypassed. And Son's mother worked there, and his wife worked there, and Son worked there as a porter. Back in those days, every big hotel had a piano player, somebody playing music in the lobby. And, you know, Son would sit around and pick, you know, play, you know, for tips and all. You know, Son learned from people like Elmore James.
Billy, let's listen to a little bit of Son's music. What do you suggest?
This is one of my favorites, some of the best blues lyrics that have ever been written, and this one by Son Thomas. I think you'll agree. Beefsteak Blues, here it is.
Beefsteak when I'm hungry, and whiskey when I'm dry. Beefsteak when I'm hungry, and whiskey when I'm dry. Good looking woman whilst I'm living, and heaven when I die. Sound like I heard this morning that old southern whistle blow. Sound like I heard this morning that old southern whistle blow. Well, nine blow just like it ain't gone. Blow the blues no more. I'm gonna get up in the morning, I'm gonna do like Henry Ford. Get up in the morning, I'm gonna do like Henry Ford. Gonna eat my breakfast here, not mine. Sup on up the road.
Hey, that is good. Now, Pat Thomas, Son Thomas's son, lives there in Leland, and I've heard him a few times, and I really love the folk art sculptures that he does.
And Pat is an absolute clone of his father. Son used to dig graves, and he taught Pat to dig graves. He taught Pat to do the sculptures that he does, the heads and the birds and the snakes and all that. He taught him to play. And Son died in, you know, the early 90s, and I remember seeing Pat, and he was living over there across the tracks in a disco, hanging out in that disco. I said, "When are you going to get back to playing some blues?" He said, "Man, it makes me sad. Makes me sad, you know, to play. But it makes me think about Daddy." And I said, "Well, let me ask you something." I said, "How many kids your Daddy have?" 13. I said, "How many of them did he teach to play music?" "None of them but me." I said, "Well, you think he would want you to quit, or you think he'd want to keep playing his music?" "I don't know. I ain't thought about that." And hell, about a week later, he picked his guitar back up and started back playing blues and been playing ever since. But, you know, Son, like all of the old blues guys, it wasn't exactly an aura, but it was something about him. The way they phrased their music, the way they talked. It was a place called the Hoka up at Oxford. And they always supported Son Thomas and the Delta Blues guys. A guy named Ron Shapiro had it. And Willie Morris was the writer in residence or something up there then. And he was... Son was real superstitious, like. I mean, he would leave a couple of inches in the bottom of a half pint bottle on his front porch when he shut the door. So I said, "Son, what you doing?" He said, "I'm leaving it for that whiskey drink, them whiskey drinking Hanks, where they won't come up in the house." And Willie Morris was always, you know, he wrote about that witch down at Yazoo City and all. Son was in Oxford one time playing at the Hoka, and he went to Willie Morris, was going to spend the night at Willie's house, and, you know, they got to drinking and all. Willie Morris asked him, said, "Son, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yes, sir, go ahead, ask me anything you want to." He said, "You believe in ghosts?" He said, "No, sir, I don't believe in them, but they're there."
Oh, that's good. What else do you want to play of Son Thomas?
Son Thomas had his own version of this Highway 61 song, and I think you'll like it. Here it is.
This time it's Highway 61 blues. I walk 61 highway till I kneel down in my knee. I walk 61 highway till I kneel down in my knee. You know I ain't found nobody give my poor hearty and tell me 61 highway is the longest road to know. Tell me 61 highway, longest road to know. It run from Chicago down to the Gulf of Mexico. I want you to keep your arms around me, tell my love come down. Just keep your arms around me, baby, my love come down. So when I leave home, won't be no more goodbye. You can love me or leave me, either one you wanna do. You can love me or leave me, either one you love to do. You know it's better to be without you and to live on in misery. Road I know.
61 highway, longest road I know. You know it runs from Chicago down to the Gulf of Mexico. Thank you.
Billy, if you would, please give us some insights into another of the great blues artists in your area, James Milton Campbell Jr., or as we all know him, Little Milton, who was born in 1934 and passed away in 2005.
Well, our families go back a long time. You know, Milton was born in Inverness, and his mother, Pearl, moved him here when he was about 3 years old. And Pearl and my grandparents were good friends. And so, I mean, he was in and out of our drugstore, you know, growing up. And I remember he said he bought, you know, a guitar. His mama bought him a guitar when he was young. But probably showed as much interest and help and contributions when we were trying to get the Blues Museum up and going. Got one of his guitars for us. And I guess it's one of those red ES-335s. And, you know, he signed it and put it in the museum. Milton never forgot. Little Milton, he had a lot of dignity. He had a lot of class. Never forgot where he came from and who helped him. I guess maybe one of the definitive times or things that happened, I was working in the Blues Museum, and, you know, we had the Blues Museum in Clarksdale, and it was hard. We were trying to get this one started in Leland, and it was like 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. I was up working in the building, and somebody came in the door, and it was Milton. And I was kind of put out because people had promised us memorabilia and pictures and stuff, and never had come through with them. And the kind of same thing with some donations. And, you know, he said, "Man, how's it going?" I said, "Man, I'm gonna tell you like it is. I'm tired of begging." And he didn't say anything. He just walked about three steps to me and grabbed me by my shirt, you know, like the nap of the shirt, and pulled me about a foot from his face. He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "Don't you never get tired of begging for something you believe in. If BB and I would have quit begging, we'd still be driving tractors." And man, it's just like the hair on my neck, back of my neck stood up. And it was just like I felt this, you know, and I got a renewed sense of enthusiasm, I guess.
Wow.
And we went on and made the push and got the museum open. It was one of those times that you could look in Milton's eyes and you could hear it in his voice that he meant exactly what he was saying, exactly the way he said it. And I mean, it just put a whole different perspective, you know, on what I was doing. Played the first couple of festivals, you know, that we had, and fame and fortune, he never let that sever the ties between his hometown and the people he grew up with and all, you know.
So, Billy, which Little Milton hit do you want to play for our friends at this point?
Y'all get ready for one of the best blues songs that I've ever heard. "Grits Ain't Groceries" by Little Milton Campbell.
If I don't love you, baby, grits ain't grocery, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. Oh yeah! Let's get into it! Listen! All around the world, I'd rather be a fly. I'd light on my baby and stay with my woman till I die. With a toothpick in my hand, I'd dig a 10-foot ditch and run off through the jungle fighting lions. What's because you know I love you, baby. Oh, you know I love you, baby, yeah. Now, if I don't love you, baby, I tell you, grits ain't grocery, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. Oh, baby. Listen. All around the world, I've got blisters on my feet. I'm trying to find my baby and bring her home with me. You better run into me, baby, and be convinced. If you run into me right now, woman, you ain't got no sense, because you know I love you, baby. Oh, you know I love you, baby, yeah. Well, if I don't love you, baby, I'll tell you, grits ain't grocery, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man.
and Mona Lisa was a man.
Grits Ain't Groceries. How about one more from Little Milton, Billy?
This next song is one of Little Milton's signature hit, his anthem for the blues. The blues is all right.
Let's get it on.
To stay. Let me explain it to you. I used to have someone that meant the whole world to me, but she left me for someone else, left my heart in misery. That's when I found out the blues would always be a part of me. Let me tell you this. You see, when she left me, she gave me the blues. That was the last
Billy, please share with us some of your knowledge of Mr. Mathis James Reed, born just outside of your hometown of Leland, Mississippi in 1925 and passed away in 1976.
You know, one thing about Jimmy Reed, a lot of the hardcore blues people, record producers of that era, didn't realize his greatness. He went to Chess Records, and Leonard Chess turned him down. He ended up going to VJ, and he had that soft, laid-back song sound with the harmonica, and so much his music was danceable, you know, and he was the first of the major blues artists in his day to cross over to the white audience. And he played, you know, at a time when the colleges were segregated, he played at both Ole Miss and Mississippi State to white audiences. So, I mean, he was a beloved Delta blues artist that had his own style. Any of the great Delta blues icon, whether it was Muddy or Wolf or B.B. or Albert King, I mean, when you hear them on the radio, you know it's them. That laid-back Jimmy Reed style of music was unlike anything that was associated with the blues. You know, people latched on to it. Black kids, white kids were all dancing to Jimmy Reed songs, and I mean, he's kind of that forgotten guy when they mention the big names of the blues because it sounded different, you know, and I mean, it had a different feel to it, a different sound. Nobody before him ever played like he did, and nobody after him has ever played like he did. I think that's as big a tribute as you can pay somebody.
Billy, let me ask you this. What's your favorite Jimmy Reed song?
Baby, What You Want Me to Do.
That's a good one. Let's play it. Billy, what do you want to play next?
Bright Lights, Big City. You know, I mean, you know, Bright Lights, Big City came at an era when hundreds of thousands of black farm workers went north when mechanization took over the farms and they didn't need as much labor. So Bright Lights, Big City done gone to my baby's head. That probably happened thousands of times. You take people from the country and move them to the city, and some of them just went wild with it. So, yeah, that's one of my favorite songs.
Jimmy Reed wrote this 1961 classic hit, Bright Lights, Big City.
Gone to my baby's head.
Just a quick note. Again, I'm Jamie, and this is the Blues Disciples Show, and we're speaking with and learning about the history of the blues and some of the great Delta blues artists from Mr. Billy Johnson, who is the founder and curator of the Highway 61 Blues Museum in Leland, Mississippi. Now, back to the music. What do you want to play, Billy?
Big Boss Man, I mean, is the song that his name is most associated with. And, I mean, that song has been covered by lots of artists in a lot of different genres of music.
Very good. Now, here's Jimmy Reed's other 1961 monster hit and kiss off to all the old plantation bosses, Big Boss Man.
Can't you hear me when I call? Big boss man, can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big, you just talk. Waking, boss man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain of water. But you won't let Jimmy start, big boss man. Can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big. You just talk.
I've heard that other musicians really appreciated Jimmy Reed.
Hank Williams Jr. is a big Jimmy Reed fan, and Elvis. And, you know, one thing people don't realize about the magnitude of Jimmy Reed's influence, when the Rolling Stones started out, before they were even the Rolling Stones, they were doing cover tunes, and half of their set list were Jimmy Reed songs. That's how big he got big quick, not just in the United States, but in Europe as well. And, you know, just a sound that everybody loved. The feel of Jimmy Reed music. I can put that CD, Jimmy Reed at Carnegie Hall, in my truck, and it may be a week or 10 days before I said, man, I need to change it. You know, those songs are so good. It's just an artist at the peak of his power at a time when nobody had done what he was doing, especially not associated with Delta Blues. I mean, that was the power of Jimmy Reed. He had his own signature style, his own signature sound, and he'd had a feel to it like no other music that was coming out of the Delta or from anybody from Mississippi. And it had a huge influence on a lot of young artists of that day, like the Rolling Stones or like Elvis. His music still resonates to generations of singers and songwriters today.
That's a beautiful tribute to one amazing man who came from the Delta and created blues poetry and music that will live on for many generations to come. And Billy, thank you for these last 2 weeks. We've covered a whole lot of information about the history of the blues and the genius blues artists from around your part of the Delta. And we've heard some of the great music these artists have shared with us. I know now that we're going to run over our normal time limit with today's Blues Disciples show. And yet there are still a couple of questions that we just must ask you. So I'm inviting you back for next week, Billy. Are you up for it, my friend?
Yeah, I'd love to do it. I can't wait.
Excellent. But as we leave you today, we've just got to let our listeners hear one more example of Jimmy Reed's real genius. In 1957, Jimmy wrote and recorded something very unique and special. The lyrics are so simple and sweet, and with his harp, he created a sound unlike anything that came before it. So as we leave you today, you can hear Jimmy Reed's Honest I Do. If you listen closely, you can get lost in this song, my friend.
This morning I never felt so bad.